Let's start right there. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. And in studio, Vincent Uribe, arts coordinator?
Art director.
New title. New title. When did that happen?
4 months ago.
4 months ago. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Arts of Life. And that's on the north side. Now, what we were just listening to, I got a couple MP3s. So we'll start with that. That was called Nightcrawler.
Correct.
Good song for the show. Arts of Life Band. So tell us about Arts of Life and then how the band got together.
Yeah, so this song that you heard, they actually just finished playing a show at the Hideout tonight for their record
release show. That was tonight.
Yeah, just, I think, finished probably like 40 minutes ago.
Okay.
So they have a new record out, Nightcrawler, where the Arts of Life were an art studio. We're based here in Chicago. We also have a studio space and gallery space in Glenview. So we support adult artists with disabilities. We started in 2000 with our first
2000,
studio.
Yeah.
So we've been around for about 17 years. It's a studio for adult artists with and without disabilities. So intellectual and developmental disabilities are sort of the main sort of things that our artists kind of have, and we support about 60 artists with disabilities.
And what's the age group?
All adults.
So adults being...
So from anywhere from 22 when they age out of high school to 60, 70, you know, we once they start and they become an artist with us, they could work there for as long as they want. So,
and how do the clients find you, or do you find them?
So our artists find us through a bunch of different outlets. There's a bunch of different agencies that our artists live at, through word of mouth. Through you know, we're not a selective program. If there's any interest in making art, the studio is for them and it's about them. They do all the decision making. There's some other programs that get sort of attributed to us, but we're very unique in the fact that our artists, the studio is theirs and the gallery is theirs, and they get to decide. You know, they had to vote me in as a staff member.
Oh, they did, really?
Yeah, so it's, they have to vote.
That's kind of how it happened on this show. They kind of...
Yeah, yeah. So the artists, we really empower them to make decisions and, you know, use art as a way to express themselves and develop independence, build community. So that's kind of, the studio's for them and it's about them and giving them freedom of choice.
And where's the studio at? What's the address?
So our Chicago studio is at 2010 West Carroll, right in Westtown. We have a gallery space there. We're open every Saturday and Monday through Friday as well. So we have a current group show up that's curated by Andrew Rafis, who's one of our board members, and he's a gallery director. You guys could come check out that show. The last day of that show is on Friday, so check out that show August 4th. We have a big blowout sale coming up where we do a big sort of studio clean out, lots of discounted artwork. Come buy like new work for family members, yourself. There's going to be a block party, music, games, really fun event. Next Saturday, we're doing a big art on a hot tin roof
that's our associate board organizing,
and that's going to be at the Bottom Lounge.
Okay, what's going to go on there?
So this is...
are these guys going to play?
Our North Shore studio,
I really like
Go Go, that band just played today. They're a little bit more rock and roll.
Now, they're called Van Gogh.
We have two bands.
Okay.
So our North Shore studio, their band is Van Gogh. And then our Chicago studio, their band is the Arts of Life band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next week at the Art on Hot Tin Roof event, that's Van Gogh that'll be playing. And there's raffle prizes, auction, all you could drink beer. It'll be a fun event, food, drinks, live art, music. Van Gogh will be performing.
And how many pieces in Van Gogh?
How many?
I mean, it was a four piece. Yeah.
There's about six members in that band. The Arts of Life band at the Chicago studio has about 14 members. And that's artists with disabilities and artists without disabilities. So it's a group of volunteers.
Do you guys sell this?
That's brand new, yeah. So the new record is out. It'll be up on our website soon. Hopefully people at the Hideout Tonight, bought that record. And it's a tribute to our founding artist. So Granny, who did that artwork on the cover, it's a baby doll that she drew. And the studio is founded because of Granny. And so she's our founding artist.
Well, tell us who that is.
And so she's sort of the artist that we all sort of aspired to be at the Arts of Life. The album title is called Kinda Weirdly, and that's one of her sayings that she used to kind of describe a lot of things as weirdly. And so she passed away a few years ago, and you know, she embodies everything that the Arts of Life is. It's a community space for expressing yourself, and this album is sort of a tribute to her, and everything we do is sort of based around her, you know, the decision making and you know, how we come across our new mission at the studio is kind of really for her and about her. And our founding director, Denise Fisher, sort of started the Arts of Life with her in mind.
It's vinyl.
Correct. Yeah, this is our first vinyl that we've put out, so we're really.
And how much is
that.
It?
$15.
So, and what's the website?
Artsoflife.org. So you could go on to the artsoflife.org, find out about the band, how to get involved. We're highly volunteer reliant, so we have a big community and support of volunteers. We're always looking for new members to join our community. Every day is a new day. Come be a part of our studio, help our artists, support them, make artwork. Be a part of our associate board. We're always recruiting new board members as well, executive board. So we have a variety of different ways for people to get involved, and we're always ready to share that and to support the community and develop artists.
I'm not going to obsess about the record too much, but I mean, Disco Moves, that's great. Puppies and Babies.
There's a little bit of great tracks.
Yeah.
There's some rap on there, disco.
Before the segment's over, we are going to play Shark Attack.
Yeah.
I heard that. That's excellent.
I think there's a music video on YouTube of that one, too. But this, we're really excited about this album because it's been professionally sort of recorded and mastered. And now that we have vinyl to really show off some of this artwork on the cover, we're really excited about that.
So in reading your background, there's four things I want to touch on that you guys do. Inspiring artistic expression.
Yep.
Building community.
Correct.
Promote self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
And developing independence.
Yeah, so those are
so how do they all interrelate, and is any one level more challenging?
They're all we address them all equally. All of our artists at our studio, they're employed by us, so this is their job to come to the studio and be an artist, and then we help manage their careers. They all have goals that they work on throughout the year. So whether it's a professional development goal or a social skill or things like that. So all of the goals that the artists have at the studio revolve around these four values. And that's sort of the same for staff as well. We sort of really push these four values and strive to kind of make these the forefront of our mission.
You're also founding director of the LVL3 Gallery in Wicker Park?
Yeah.
What's that?
Level 3 Gallery is the gallery space I run in Wicker Park. For the past 7 years, we're an artist-run space and publication. So we do small group shows of artists from Chicago and artists from around the world and connect people to foster new connections. And
what kind of artists are those?
Right now we have a 2-person group show up. It's a painting show and a sculpture show. Andy Delany is an artist from Minneapolis, and Amber Renee, she is an artist who was based in Chicago for a while. Now she's in New York. She did some paintings and sculptures in the space. So we're open every Sunday 1 to 4 there as well. And a new opening next Friday as well.
So the reason I asked that, what disciplines from that do you bring into this?
A lot of my practice as an art director, as a curator, as an artist, they all sort of interrelate. So my new role at the studio as the art director is really helping manage both studios and sort of the direction and building new partnerships and really pushing ourselves to intertwine more with the arts community. We're pretty heavily involved in the disability community, and we really want to kind of show the artwork for what it is, and we're not just a charity case. We have artists making professional work, and you know, I use my connections as a gallery director to get shows and help get our artists out into the community. So we're excited for some upcoming shows. We're working on a show right now with a curator and a collector who's putting on a show at the Ukrainian Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. So that'll happen October 6th, that we have about 12 of our artists who are going to be in that show. So yeah, there's a lot of different ways that my roles and my different jobs kind of interconnect, but I'm really excited about all of them.
At Arts of Life, what are the questions, what are the dreams and the goals of the clients there?
So our artists have, you know, it really depends on who you ask.
Yeah, right.
Everyone has a different personality, and I think that's what makes our organization so special. Some of our artists, Tim Stone, he's really excited to, he wants his work to be in a museum, and he wants to have a solo show, and that's, he aspires for that. You know, some of our artists out of habit just, drawing is all they want to do. You know, one of our artists, Alex Scott, drawing is a way of sort of releasing energy and calming himself down. So, you know, just making work and being able to have the tools and support and the space that he feels comfortable where he could just draw and draw and draw, you know, and then we could help get his work out to the public. So it really depends on the artist, but it's really kind of what they're wants and needs are. We want to support them in whatever way we can. Illinois is one of the worst places you could live if you have a disability because of the funding. It's a really, especially given the political climate of Illinois, we didn't have a budget for, you know, almost 3 years. It was really dire for us to try to start weaning ourselves off of state funding that we're pretty heavily relying on, and really develop our support networks of donors and grants and foundations.
And what's the climate like for that? And that'll, we can, let's plug again for the 29th.
I mean, we're slowly, now that the state has passed a budget, we're a little bit more safe, but it's so rocky that we don't want to, right now we're about 60% reliant on state funding, and we're trying to get further off of that. So in case another budget crisis happens, we're not in, you know, a crisis situation that we might have to close down. You know, last year was one of the scariest times for us as an organization, and we hate to admit that, but it got so close that, you know, we almost had to shut down one of our studios, and that's 30 artists that then have no place to go during the day and no support. So we're an alternative day program. We are relying on the state, but any donors and foundations and grants, you know, any little bit helps.
Feedback's really important, isn't it? I mean, are you open, like, when the artists are working, can people come in and interact with the artists?
Yeah, so we schedule tours at the studio. The studio's open Monday through Friday, basically 9 to 3 for studio tours, and you could check out our gallery spaces. But our artists are usually working during the day, and that's sort of their job. So giving them the space to do that and work on what they want to work on is sort of the main thing. We don't want to kind of take them out of their environment if they're, you know, busy working on a project. So it's all very individualized.
Okay. So give us the details again on the 29th.
So on the 29th at the Bottom Lounge, it's Art on a Hot Tin Roof. We have a couple sponsors, including Revolution Beer. There's going to be lots of food and drinks and music. Van Gogh, which is the North Shore band, they'll be playing. And then there's lots of auction items available. So Hamilton tickets.
Really?
Yeah, so you could win some Hamilton tickets.
Mia, have you seen Hamilton yet? Okay.
Yeah, so it's hard to get these tickets. Yes. Some round trip tickets, airline tickets for two anywhere in the U.S. So a lot of different prizes, wine tasting for 10. You guys check it out. Come out. It's from 5 to 8 next Saturday. Tickets right now, I believe, are $50.
So I could still come. It's 5 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm going to keep you on mic. We're going to take a break, because we're going to do a couple of quick things after the break. We got Tony Fitzpatrick. He's on every week. He's going to be on to talk about something. And I want to talk about disco. I know you like disco.
Yeah.
So we got a disco thing going on tomorrow.
Disco party.
So I'll keep you on the mic. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Okay, this is the radio station. And the Structure Tech is coming at you. chair, push me out from the first wheel.
Excellent. The Arts of Life Band, like a Jimmy Buffett concert. Shark Attack from Kind of Weirdly. And will this be for sale at your benefit?
Yeah, we'll have those available at the Art on a Hot Tin Roof event next Saturday.
This is a Nocturnal Calendar, a new segment, Dan Long. We're going to try to plug some stuff. We've got our friend artist Tony Fitzpatrick on the phone. Tony, are you there?
David.
How you doing? Sir. And what do you got for us?
You got right, man. How are you?
Okay, we're talking about art. Did you hear that song, Shark Attack? It's pretty awesome. I can't wait to hear some of these other songs.
Yes, I did.
Vincent, how old are the people singing Shark Attack?
All ages.
All ages.
Jean, I think, is in her 50s.
Really?
Yeah.
See, now we got to get them in
this. She's got a lot of energy. So, she's usually dressed as a vampire or a wolf, or, you know, she has the best outfits.
So why don't you bring them in the studio?
They would love that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Totally.
I love this.
Let's do it.
So, Tony, what do you got going on tomorrow?
We have the benefit for a live no-kill animal shelter at 2227 West Belmont Avenue. I made a poster to benefit that noble shelter. They do not euthanize any of their animals. And the living saints who run this place, Kristen Giralli, Mia Lindner, and Bianca Parra, you know, it's a pretty shoestring operation, and I made a poster called This Child of God. It's a pit bull dog, and we made...
It's on the Nocturnal Journal Facebook page, right, from last week, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And tomorrow, Bill Fitzgerald graciously lent us the club, and my pal and your pal, Anna Furman, will be playing. The benefit. So it'll be Anna Furman, Alton Smith, and John Rice.
Oh, I know John. Yeah, John goes way back.
Yeah.
Sundowners.
Yeah. So they were kind enough. They're all dog and cat lovers, and they stepped up.
And what time does that start?
And, it starts at 1 o'clock. It's 1 to 4.
1 to 4. And how much is the poster and how much it goes?
The poster is $50 and 25% of the gross goes to Alive.
Okay. Now, I'm going to try to – I'm going to get Vincent's take on this. I'm going to try to come by, Tony, but I'm moderating – you know, I don't like to promote myself on the show, but I'm moderating a panel at the Elmhurst History Museum on disco demolition. We've been doing a lot of this.
Oh, well, what time
is Bob Ciccone, beer vendor from Old Comiskey, Mitch Michaels, Jim Rittenberg.
I know Bob.
Yeah, Jim Rittenberg from the Old Faces. Jeff Schwartz, who was at the Loop. He kind of came up with the idea. Our show, our friend for the show, Mike Veck, and Paul Sullivan from the Tribune. So that
is Mike Veck.
Yeah, Mike's awesome.
So one of my heroes, man.
So that's going to be from 2 to 3:30 at the Elmhurst History Museum, 120 East Park Avenue in Elmhurst. That's free.
Come on the early end, man.
Yeah, maybe I'll have a couple cocktails before I moderate the panel. Hey, Dan, how's this Nocturnal Calendar going?
Maybe just reiterate the dates at the end so people don't get confused. But otherwise, I'm digging it.
Okay. Right. So two of them are tomorrow. The disco demolition panel is tomorrow from 2 to 3:30. Tony, your thing is?
From 1 to 4.
1 to 4. And Vincent, you're up
and
on.
And it's free. Yeah. There's no admission. And please come and join us. Have a few pops, get a poster, and enjoy Anna Furman.
Well, now, I wanted to keep Vincent on for the disco stuff because one thing I thought about when doing the book is, like, I mean, we end the book about how the disco quote-unquote died, which I really don't think it did. I think it morphed.
No. And I became, don't think it did either. I think it evolved and became an infinitely more interesting kind of music and spread out into several.
Well, I ended the book EDM, with it gave birth to house, you know, Frankie Knuckles and stuff.
House, EDM. I mean, an amazing amount of things came out of disco. You know, I was at Disco Demolition.
Yeah.
And my dirty secret was I really didn't hate disco. I mean, I would have given my left arm to be able to play the guitar like Nile Rodgers.
Well, Tony, I used to see you at Spirit of 76 in Downers Grove. You had that shirt all unbuttoned. It was crazy.
No, I don't think you saw me there. You know,
but Vincent,
you know what? I've actually been there. I had a girlfriend that liked to hang out there. You know, so I would go and like stalk her once in a while. And they didn't only play disco music there; they played a lot of rock and roll. And you know, they were big on the Dwight Twilley Band, who I've never heard of before or since.
Yeah. But Vincent, I want to get Vincent in. What's the disco scene? You're still into it, right?
Disco is my favorite genre.
Oh, now, why is that?
I grew up with disco. My parents were all about disco. My first concert was Donna Summers. We went as a family of six, and I just remember dancing in the far.
And how old
features.
Are you?
I'm 27.
Right now. Yeah. Really?
I think I was maybe 8 when I saw Donna Summers. My mom pulled over in the car. She heard the tickets were going on sale, called from the car phone, and ordered 6 tickets.
And where was this at? Where are you from?
In L.A.
In L.A. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So yeah. Donna Summers was a big influence in mine.
Now, Tony, they've got this record out kind of weirdly. We don't have the track, but number 2 is Disco Moves. What's that about?
Yeah, I mean, all the tracks on that album, you know, they're all sort of different genres. It's really led by the artist, but, you know, our artists love to dance, and I think disco is kind of one of the best dance musics to groove to. So.
Okay, we got to...
without disco, you would have had Moby.
Well, yeah. And you know, I mean, they talk about Disco Demolition that night, but then, you know, I mean, David Bowie, was that disco? You know, we've got Nile Rodgers in the book. You know, Madonna, was that disco? So it's
Carly Rae Jepsen is influenced by disco.
Yeah.
I think most of the pushback about disco had nothing really to do with the music and everything to do with the kind of cultural trappings of the late 70s.
It was a lot about style. You know,
all of a sudden, it was guys getting back into suits and stuff like that. And there was a whole culture of us that wanted nothing to do with dressing in a suit. You know, I mean, it didn't have much to do with the music, though. I mean, it was more of one of those things about values and cultural idioms like, you know, materialism and goofy haircuts and funny pants.